'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else before King, except for a heart singing hallelujah. So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a, it's all I have. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah.
Amen. What an absolute joy it is to be in the house of the Lord with all of you this morning, worshiping God. I've absolutely enjoyed our time worshiping and giving adoration and praise and exaltation to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a joyous occasion. We're going to go ahead and transition, and we're going to get into the Word of the Lord this morning, and however the Lord leads us. You know how we do it at Riverside. We just follow the leading of the Spirit of God. I don't know any other way to do it other than that. I've been doing this for 22 years, and I guess you could say I'm old-fashioned and stuck in my ways. And I'm going to follow however the Spirit of God is leading us in that moment. And that's just who we are here. Incidentally, there's a word that has been sticking with me probably since for a few weeks. It's just one word that's been sticking with me for several weeks, and I can't seem to get away from it. And in fact, I'm not going to try to get away from it. I'm going to leverage it, and I'm going to lean into it and talk about it with you today. And so I don't know when the Lord laid it on my heart or when I started to hear it, but it's been a minute. In fact, I've talked about it and preached around it and about it. It has appeared in messages that I had been preparing that had nothing to do with the particular word, but I think it's just an announcement from God for something for me to lean into and to get us as a church family to lean into it. Would you do me a favor? I want you to, the word appears in the title of my message today, and because I'm an audience participation preacher, I need you to tell the people beside you and on your row, the title of my message today is simply this, and I want you to tell it to them. Just touch them on the arm and say, give me a moment. Just tell them, maybe you would say it this way, pardon me, but I need a moment. Just turn around and tell the people behind you, excuse me, I need a moment. I know we've been praising a little bit. I know we've been singing a little bit. I know we've been shouting a little bit. But if you'll excuse me, I just have to have but a moment. See, I believe what Mom was saying. She had no idea what I was going to talk about today. I'm trying to preach a sermon series, but I just abandoned that thing altogether. And we're just going to stay in a moment. And so I'm going to talk about this word, moment. I'm going to talk to you today about how there's parts of this that will just seem very prophetic, and it'll mean something to somebody in this room. I know it. A moment is more than just a passing second on a clock. It's a divine intersection where God's purpose meets our response. It's a season of opportunity, a window of time where God is moving in a significant way, and our faith determines how we step into it. Here's what I know about a moment. Number one, it's God ordained. Moments are not random. but they are orchestrated by God for His purpose. Touch your neighbor and say, give me a moment. I know this about a moment. They're time sensitive. They don't last forever. If we don't recognize and respond, we risk missing what God wants to do. Touch your other neighbor and say, I need a moment. Number three, they're transformational. Moments change us, shift us, and position us for greater things. Touch those people in front of you and say, I need a moment. And lastly is this, these moments are faith activated. What we do in a moment determines whether we step into God's promise or we miss it. Touch everybody on your row, say, I need a moment. Woo! Ha ha! Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, in you I will do a new thing. Now, let the church say now. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Are you ready to pray? Pray for me and I'll pray for you. Stretch your hands this way. You pray for me and I'll pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity, the privilege to be able to stand in this pulpit and declare your word, to preach your word, to share your word today. I pray, God, that our hearts would be open, ready, and receptive to receive whatever it is you have for us today. Let our minds be arrested. Let our attention be focused on you and what it is you want to say to us. God, arrest my heart. Get a hold of my mind. Make my tongue ready, God, to preach and speak whatever you'd have me to say today, God. Lord, I ask you to anoint me fresh with fresh oil from on high. God, I need you today. They don't need me. We need you. We don't need another pretty little sermon. We need the word of the Lord today. We need you, God. We need you. God, we don't need a performance. We don't need entertainment. What we need is the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of God, move in this place as only you can. Breathe on us today as only you can. I yield to you, my Lord, my Savior, my Creator, my God, the lover of my soul, my very best friend. I yield to you today. Have your way in this place. This morning, in Jesus' mighty name, let us recognize and understand, Lord, that where we are right now is in a moment. Don't let us miss this moment that we are in your mighty, precious name, I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand clap of praise. Have you ever had a moment that changed everything in your life? Have you ever had a moment where everything shifted? Maybe it was the day that you met your spouse. Everything changed. Before that moment, they were just another person. Before that moment, they were just another individual. But something happened in that moment that shifted and changed everything. That resonates with me because I remember when I fell in love with a beautiful blonde-headed girl. And I remember, you need to understand, we were in church together. We were in youth group together. I knew her then. I knew her for probably a couple of years, and she was just Tina, and we went to church together. We worshiped together. We were in youth group together, and I had zero interest in dating her. I had zero interest in having anything to do with her. Of course, we weren't in a big church. It was a small church. We bumped into one another from time to time. But then all of a sudden, on a Thursday night after church, we went over to a friend's house to rent some movies and have some pizza. I don't know if it was the movie or maybe it was the pizza. I have no idea. But what I know is afterwards, we both walked out of our friend's house together, me to get in my car, her to get in her car. And as we were standing there and I was saying goodbye to her, I thought, I'm going to carpe diem, Elder George. I'm going to seize the day, seize the moment. And I leaned in for a little smoochy poochy noochy. And when I did, Lord, when I did, and my lip touched her lip, she be. The lip touching was one thing, but the tongue now. He set me free, oh, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound. That was a moment. Is she in here? Through all of that, I did all of that, Nori. Nothing. What can wash away my sin? There was a moment that shifted and changed my life. I can go back over the course of my life and I can easily identify moments in my life where the trajectory of my life shifted and changed because of a moment that I found myself in. Even being in this church, there was a moment. There was a moment, it was presented, a moment that occurred, a moment that happened in a Cracker Barrel of all places that landed me here at Riverside Church. Moments, we all have the opportunities of moments appear before all of us, and some of them are like the one I just described to you concerning Tina. Others, it may be a spiritual moment. Maybe you had a moment where you just encountered God and everything in your life changed. I can go back to 16 years old. I can take you to the church that I was in. I could take you to the spot at the altar where I had a moment with Jesus and my life changed forever. There are moments. See, here's what I know. Life is made up of ordinary days for the most part. But then there's those defining moments that happen that seem to change everything. Consider Moses, who was tending sheep out in the wilderness when all of a sudden he happened upon a burning bush. And that burning bush changed in a moment the trajectory of his life. Or if it's not Moses, think about David. Here David was a shepherd boy out tending sheep, watching over his father's sheep. He was forgotten. He was looked down upon. He was a nobody to the family. Everybody got invited to the dinner when Samuel was coming except for David, because he was a little young and just a shepherd boy who was forgotten. But in a moment, he was anointed by the prophet of God, and in that moment, his life changed forevermore. And if it's not Moses and it's not David, then consider the disciples of Jesus. These were fishermen. These were tax collectors. These were ordinary people. But in a moment, when they saw Jesus, or when they heard Jesus, or they locked eyes with Jesus, in a moment, their lives were completely uprooted. rooted, upended, and changed forevermore. I come by to say to you today, I believe with all of my heart that Riverside Church is in one of those moments. We started it a few months ago, and I failed to identify and recognize that it was a moment then, but lo and behold, I can announce to you prophetically today that we are absolutely, unequivocally, without a doubt, in a moment right now. I preached it last week. Whatever you do, don't miss what God is doing. But I never really elaborated or talked about the moment today, and maybe today and maybe next week. I don't know how long it'll take me, but I'm going to talk about how God is moving. God is stirring. God is shifting. God is setting us up for something greater. But here's the challenge. You're either going to recognize and step into it, or we are going to miss it. Have you ever missed your moment? You ever had a moment in your life where you missed it, an opportunity to present it itself, but you shied back in fear? Maybe you had a chance to encourage someone, but you hesitated and the moment passed. Maybe God was prompting you to take a step of faith in a new direction, but you let doubt or distraction keep you from moving forward. Touch the person beside you and say, whatever you do, don't miss this moment. Throughout history, there have been people who have recognized their divine moment and stepped into it, and there were others who missed it completely. Consider the Israelites as they stood on the edge of the promised land. In Numbers 13, the Israelites were standing at the edge of their destiny, at the edge of their future, at the edge of the promise that was given to them by God, and all they had to do was step into it. You're familiar with the story, no doubt. There were some spies who went out. 12 of them went out, but 10 of them came back with a negative report. They were focused on giants instead of God's promises. And because of their fear, an entire generation missed out on what God was wanting to accomplish in the moment, and they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. Here's what I feel in my heart to tell us today. Let's not let the next generation miss out on what God wants to do in their lives because we failed to recognize the moment. Don't let another generation miss out on what God. You know what I love about our church on Sunday morning? I look up over here in this section of the church and I see young people up here worshiping. I look up here on the stage and I see young people leading us in worship. I thank God that the hearts of the fathers have been turned toward the sons and the sons have been turned toward the fathers. I thank God that we're not going to be fearful of the giants that might be in the land. We're not going to be afraid to move forward. We're not going to be afraid to go into a land that God has promised us. I refuse to let us miss out on a divine moment and a divine setup that God has placed upon Riverside Church. There's another generation. If you don't do it for yourself, then do it for them. I might not be praising him for me, but I'll praise him for my children. Maybe not my children, but I got a grandson that sits in the back, and I want my grandson, when he grows up, when he walks into this church and comes down to this altar, I want him to feel what I felt in this place for the last 20 years. I want him to feel liberty and freedom. I want him to feel the presence of God. I want him to feel divine intervention. I want him to feel God move in this place in ways and in wonders that he has never known before. So if you see me shout, if you see me praise, I don't always do it for me. I do it for the ones coming up behind me. I do it for another generation. I wish I had people in here that didn't mind praising him. Maybe not for you, but do it for them. I said do it for them. You praise God for them. Come on and clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Do it for them. Hey! Hey! Are we standing on the edge of something great but letting fear from keeping us from stepping in? I think of others who may have missed their moment. I think of the religious leaders who rejected Jesus. Jesus was performing miracles, healing the sick, raising the dead, fulfilling prophecy. And yet the very people who should have recognized him, the Pharisees and the religious leaders, missed their moment. Why? Because they were so caught up in their traditions that they could not see the Messiah that stood right in front of them. Can I just tell you, one of the anointings God gave me was to come in and tip sacred cows in the body of Christ. We're not going to build idols in here and say, well, this is how we've always done it. This is how we would always sing it. This is how we would always preach it. This is how the music was always played. Is that a sacred cow? You better comfort that thing, because your pastor's getting ready to come in. They were waiting for a king who would overthrow Rome, and Jesus came as a suffering servant. They missed their divine moment because they were looking for something else. Are we so focused on how we expect God to move that we're missing how he's moving right now? I think about the disciples on the road to Emmaus after Jesus' resurrection. Two of his disciples were walking with him on the road to Emmaus. They were discouraged and they were confused. And yet Jesus himself walked right beside them, but they did not recognize him. They were so caught up in their disappointment. They were so caught up in their discouragement that they missed the fact that Jesus was right there with them. And it wasn't until later, when they were breaking bread, that their eyes opened up and they saw that it was really him. After all, whatever you do, don't let your discouragement and your disappointment keep you from seeing that Jesus is on the move right now. The Israelites missed their moment. The Pharisees missed their moments. The disciples almost missed their moments. And if you and I are not careful, we might just miss our moment, because Riverside is in a moment. It's in a moment where it's growing. It's in a moment, Mama Gail said it, of revival. It's in a moment, Mike, if he was teaching, would say, in a moment of reclamation, reclaiming some things that were lost, reviving some things that had died. Come on, we're in a moment of transformation. Lives are being changed. Drug addicts and alcoholics being set free. Relationships will be prepared. Marriages put back together. Why? Because God said, I'm going to put you in a moment. Touch your neighbor and say, are you ready to get the step in? Are you ready to get the step in? Are you going to let it pass you by? Are you going to jump in? Jump in, jump in, jump in, jump in. The text says, in Isaiah 4:3, God is doing something fresh. He said, behold, I will do a new thing. Let the church say a new thing. Your God and my God is not a God of stagnation. He's always moving. He's always working. He's always creating. But the problem is, like the Pharisees, we want to hold on to old ways. We want to hold on to old mindsets. We want to hold on to old expectations. Here's how God should do it. Here's how God ought to do it. And God's making a prophetic declaration to you and I today. In you, I will do something new. Will you not recognize it? Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 9. They don't put old wine into new wine skins. Some people miss their moment because they're trying to fit something that God's doing new into something that is old. And as I was leaning into that and meditating on that, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, it's not just how I do it, but it's who I choose to do it through, that you'll miss it. It's not just about how God is going to move, but rather who God is going to choose to bring about. You got to see the preacher in a suit and a tie with slick back hair and polished shoes. What you got stuck with, though, I bet you the prophet Elijah wasn't complaining when a dirty old bird showed up with meat in his beak to feed him.
Don't you get it twisted. God will supply all your needs, but if he sends a raven to do it, when God getting ready to move, he's not going to use the graduate from seminary. He's going to use the man who just drug a vape over the parking lot. I can't get no help in here. Come on, they're going to have tattoos on their face, on their body. Their hair will be different colors. They're not going to talk like you, walk like you. Come on, somebody. They won't pray like you, preach like you, sing like you. But it don't make them any less saved, any less sanctified, any less filled, any less I wish I had somebody to help me preach up in. Behold in you, I will do a. You better take the next 20 seconds and give God a crazy praise in here right now. Hey! Hey! Hey!
Y'all better sit down and keep your cool. We got new people in here. Don't be showing out with the. They may not come back. Tina, baby, this is. I'm sorry, darling. I know you came at Christmas, and now you back, baby. I'm sorry. She says she came. This is Tina's second time here. She says she came at Christmas time, and then she came back this time. And you know we ain't doing it this time like we did at Christmas time. You know, Christmas time, we got to put our. We up in here singing Christmas songs, trying to keep our cool, be correct, you know, and singing Christmas carols and all that, that and the other. But then you come back in March and you got. Tina, this is who we really are. Good God Almighty. I'm telling you what, I don't know what it is, but I feel Jesus in this place. Hey. He said, behold in you, I will do a new thing. And then he said this, he said, now it shall spring forth. When do you think that new thing's gonna come? When do you think that new? I mean, I don't know. Somebody help the preacher out. When? 5 years from now, it's gonna happen. It's gonna wait. No, it's not gonna happen till you get all your stuff together. It's not gonna happen till. Can I talk to you like how the young people would say? This is how they say it to me. It ain't gonna come till you get your ish together. I have no idea what that means. I have no idea what that means. I'm not going to say it one more time because Angel says say it one more time, and I know I probably shouldn't have said it the first time. But it'll come sometime. It's going to come in a year from now. It'll come to. When is this new thing going to come? He prophetically made the announcement. He said,
now.
I can't get anybody. Y'all were good, but y'all went to sleep. I said, he's coming.
Now.
The move is coming.
Now.
I wish I could get everybody in this section to say, when is it coming? You better count your apples, count your oranges, count your fruit, count your. My God, he said, now. God's move is not just for someday. God's move is for today. Many of us have the tendency to delay obedience. We'll say, well, I'll get serious about God when life slows down. I'll serve more when I have more time. I'll give more when I have more resources. And God's saying, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. If you're going to do it now. If you're going to praise him now. If you're going to worship, worship. If you're going to preach, preach. If you're going to sing, sing. If you're going to get saved, get saved. If you're going to get anointed. Do it now. Let the church say now. The hour is coming, and now is, where true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. When? Now. It's coming, and it's now. It's coming, and it's the true worship. Do I have any true worshipers in here? Do I have any true worshipers in here? Do I have any true worshipers over here who worship him in spirit and in? I got to hurry up now. He said, I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He's making a way where there was no way. He's breaking through in places that are dry, that are lifeless, and that are impossible. You see, a wilderness or a desert is a place of wandering, a place of uncertainty, and a place of delay. And some of you here today, I'm getting ready to prophesy, some of you here today have felt like you have been stuck in a wilderness season, circling the same struggles, struggling with the same disappointments, dealing with the same unanswered prayers. But hear the word of the Lord today. God is making a road in the wilderness. Touch everybody on your row and say, he's making a road. See, here's what you need to understand about a road. A road represents direction and purpose. Some of you have felt spiritually lost, unsure of where you are going, but God's saying to you today, I'm clearing out a path. I'm making the way straight. Come on. He said, I'm taking every low place and making it high. I'm taking every high place and making it low. I'm taking every crooked place and I'm straightening it out. I'm making a road in a wilderness, a place where you've been struggling, a place where you've been dying, a place where you've been frustrated. He said, I'm making a road. I'm giving you a pathway. I'm giving you a purpose, and I'm giving you direction. I've come by to let somebody know everything you didn't think was going to happen is getting ready to happen. See, a road also represents acceleration. Where things have felt slow, where things have felt delayed, where you feel like you've been walking through thick and heavy terrain, God's saying, I'm about to move suddenly. I'm about to move quickly. What used to take years to happen, God said, I'm going to make it happen in a moment. I'm preaching to somebody in here. I wish you'd catch a hold of this thing. Come on, I feel a prophetic unction on me today. You feel like you've been moving in slow motion, but God said, by the Spirit of the Lord, I'm getting ready to speed things up. I'm getting ready to accelerate things in your life. I'm going to collapse time in on top of itself. And what used to take years, what used to take months, is only going to happen in a matter of a moment. Why? Because you're going to step into your moment where everything's accelerated, everything's fast, everything's quick. Come on, the days of moving in slow motion are over for you. You better lace up your Jordans. You better lace up your Under Armours. You better lace up your high tops, low tops, your Dunks, or your Hey Dudes, and get ready to touch your neighbor and tell him, you better get ready to move. Get ready to move. Get ready to move. Come on, you better tell him with some urgency. Tell him with some fervency. Tell him, tell him, tell him. He said, I'm going to make rivers in the desert. No river. There's no river. There's no rivers and no desert I've ever seen. But you ain't seen what God can do. With God. Nah, you don't believe that. No, you don't believe that. What you believe is with God some. With God equipped. With God all things are what? You mean to tell me that he can put a river in a desert? No, he can't.
I don't believe you. I haven't seen it. What you telling me, Dre? You saw it? It's been done? Do I have a witness right there? Do I have any more witnesses over here? You've been in a dry place, and when it was a dry place, all of a sudden, a river come? Do I have a witness over here? Is there anybody who can testify? Come on, this testimony part of the service. Here's testimony part of the service. Is there anybody in this room with me today? You would say, I've been in a dry place. It been so dry, I was spitting out sand. But then all of a sudden, something happened in the midnight hour. All of a sudden, when it was dry, destitute, all of a sudden, I saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. All of a sudden, in my desert, there came a riverside. I wish I had some praisers in here who would give God praise for the rivers that's getting ready to flow in your life. Come on, give him praise.
When God's sending you rivers, God sent it. You know what? Some of you, God brought you to a riverside. You over there at your house praying, God, I'm lost. God, I'm hurting. God, I'm broke, busted, and God, I need something. God, I don't know what's about to happen. And then you showed up on Sunday, March the 2nd, 2025 at Riverside. I'm going to say it how Elder George says it. He said, there is no side like the river side. Come on, God put this church in a parched land, not so it would stay parched, so that he could have a river flowing through some dry areas, through some dry seasons. You've been here. God brought you here. Some of you he brought back here, and some of you, you're here for the first time, and you've been parched. You've been thirsty. You've been spitting out cotton balls, but I come by to let you know, if you ever wondered where you're supposed to go to church, this just might be the announcement, the prophecy, the words you've been looking for. He brought you to a riverside for a reason. See, a river represents refreshing. Let the church say refreshing. When you felt weary, when you felt drained, when you thought, I don't know how much more I can take, God's saying, I'm releasing a fresh outpouring of my spirit. I'm reviving what's once felt dead. I'm strengthening what was once weak. I'm pouring out something fresh and something new. If you're in this room today and you've been thirsty, all you've got to do, I dare you to slip up one hand and then slip up another hand. If you've been thirsty for something, thirsty for God, he said, let those thirst for righteousness and you shall be filled. If you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness, he brought you to Riverside to fill you, to quench your thirst, to give to you, to refresh you. Come on, I'll make a prophetic announcement. Refreshing is on the horizon. A river represents provision. He's about to provide in areas you didn't think he would provide. God came by to tell you today, or sent me here to tell you today, that God is your source. I guarantee you there are folks in here right now heard that Elon Musk going to send you a $5,000 check, an $8,000 check. Old Doge fountain, billions and trillions and gajillions of dollars, and now they're going to cut you a check, and you got super duper excited in your living room when you thought Elon Musk was going to send you a check. I hope Elon Musk sent every one of you a check, and I hope you all tithe on it. But Elon is not my source. Donald Trump is not my source. I got a source. I got a source. He goes by Jireh. You don't hear me. He go by Jireh, which means my provider. Jehovah Jireh is my provider.
vision.
Okay, Holy Spirit, I'll do that. He said, take the next 15 seconds and give praise to your source. Take the next 15 seconds. Give praise to your source. Give praise to your source. Come on. Come on. Truth be told, Andre, they clapped louder than that when they thought it was coming from Elon Musk. Ever wonder why I get you moving like we do? You ever wonder why I get you clapping, why I get you touching, why I get you pushing, why I get you shoving, why I get you standing on your feet? I'll tell you why. Because a river represents movement. I don't want to pastor a church where the waters are stagnant and stale. I want to pastor a church where we are moving. And that's why I get you on your feet. And that's why I get you touching your neighbor. That's why I get you pushing. That's why I get you shouting. That's why I need, there needs to be movement, because you forget where you're at sometimes. And a river represents movement. Stagnant waters grow stale, but rivers are constantly flowing. And God is saying, I am moving in your midst, stirring things and shifting things. And the reason I get you to move is to demonstrate, you know what? I need to move because I need to step into a thing. There's a man in this church that was healed of cancer because he decided to move down an aisle. Nobody else was moving. He heard and his spirit moved. He moved and God healed him of cancer. Here we come. 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 Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Move, 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 move. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What he did for one, he'll do for another. You need to move, 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 move. You need provision. Move. You need healing. Move. You need that. Move, move, move. You in a river, move. You need a breakthrough, you better move. You need a miracle, you better move. You need a healing, you better move. You need breakthrough, you better move. Move, 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 move. The Spirit of God is moving. You better move with Him. Get in the river, get in the river, get in the river, get in the river. Get in the river and move. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I needed a moment just then. Excuse me. I just needed a moment to move. See, rivers move. He said, I'll make a river in the dry places. I'll make a river. Some of you, he's making a river in your finance. Your finance has been a dry place. There's a river coming. There's a river coming. There's a river coming. Some of you been in your health. There's a river coming. There's a river coming. The healing. Healing's coming. Healing's coming. Breakthrough is coming. Deliverance is coming. It's coming. It's coming. When? 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 Now! 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 Now!
I feel it, Eddie. I feel it, Eddie. I feel him, Eddie, in this place. I feel him, Dave Stewart. Savannah, this is real.
We are in a moment. Andre, I don't know what's fitting to happen in this church, brother. I really don't know what's getting ready to happen, but I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad y'all are here. Come on. What's getting ready to happen, Savannah? What's God getting ready to do? What's God getting ready to do? Come on, what's He getting ready to do?
You're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let me down. 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 No, 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 no.